I've been teaching from the Ephesian epistle, and we're up to chapter 4 right now. I want to read the first 6 verses, and then we'll start going on down through it. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope you're calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now he begins here at verse 1, says, I therefore, which means because of that, because of what he just shared in his first 3 chapters, which I give a brief little review or highlight, that it reveals the Father had a plan according to purpose. His purpose was the praise of the glory of His grace, or that His character and all that He is be revealed to a people who would be His people, who would learn to know Him in this fallen world, but take that revelation of Christ with them to heaven forever and ever, be praising and glorifying Him in heaven forever and ever, based on the revelation. The angels of God in heaven see the majesty and glory, but they don't know what it is to be forgiven. They don't know what it is to need that love, that forgiveness, that grace, that mercy. It says in 1 Peter 1, I think it's verse 12, that we have something they desire to see into. That's the revelation of the very heart and character of God to each one of us. And that's why He created the earth and man in it, and why even cast Satan down here, where we would know what it is to be separated from Him, but then be able to understand His love to bring us back to Him, into His family. Hallelujah. And we go on chapter, later in chapter 1, Paul said, since I heard of your faith in Jesus and in your love for the saints, I continue to pray for you that they would be going on to maturity, that they would get a deeper revelation of Him. And I mentioned to you why I felt impressed to go through the Ephesian epistle is that Jesus said on this rock, the rock of revelation of who He was, He would build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So as we're moving closer and closer to the very end times here, there's all manner of evil all around us, but the gates of hell will not prevail. If we'll cling to Him, be filled with Him, walk with Him, we have a victory in Him, and the evil around us should not be overcoming us, but rather overcoming us, overcoming it. So it's very pertinent. Then it goes on, Paul's praying for them. They know the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and exceeding greatness of His inherent power in us, which we understand according to the manifest power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wanted them to go further and to be able to see that. And then in chapter 3, he brings up, he's continuing to pray for them, really that they would grasp a greater revelation of the love of Christ and know the fullness of God from length and breadth and height and depth. There's no end to going deeper in Him or higher in Him or farther in Him. And that really should be our goal, is to want more of Him. That's what Paul said about himself. I want to know Him more. The fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection. He wanted to know Him more. And as we walk with Him, He'll take us deeper. But that will involve a death to self. Because to walk in love is to give. And to give, you're releasing something from you. So Paul went on to share how the Jews and Gentiles were brought together in one, reconciled together in one body in chapter 2. You see, under the old covenant, salvation was just for the Jews. But in the new covenant, see, the Israel was a prophetic picture, a prophetic voice of the Christ to come, who would give His life to save all whosoever would believe upon Him. Gentiles, the Greeks, the Jews, everyone. And the Jews had a lot of trouble with that. They saw themselves as superior. They were prideful about who they were. And when the Gentiles were beginning to get saved, they took great issue. In fact, the first persecution came from the Jews against the church. It was later on that the Romans began to persecute the church, but initially it was the Jews. It was that Pharisee spirit. They were saying, well, you're not of us, so you know, you're evil. And Saul of Tarsus was the epitome of that. He was having people hauled off into prison just simply because of their faith. And the Lord stopped him on that road to Damascus, knocked him off his high horse. And Paul rises up and says, oh, what would you have me to do? Who are you, Lord? What would you have me to do? So he goes on in chapter 2 and says, the Lord's building a holy temple that his presence would be manifest. Now there, in the Ephesian epistle, there are various pictures of the church. You have that of a body, you have that of a family, you have that of a temple, you have that of an army, you have that of a marriage. There are these various pictures that God gave, and it's pictures of what he's doing, wanting to do with his people. And as far as the church being brought together, the people of God, it's for him to inhabit us in our praises for him. Because in the temple, offerings were brought to God. And praises came in the outer court to him, and the offerings were given. We bring a sacrifice or offering of praise unto him for what he has done already. So he says, I therefore, because of all that, I ask you, walk worthy of this vocation or calling wherewith you're called. Now to walk worthy of it, we don't earn our salvation. We don't earn something from God, but it's to walk honorably. Bring honor and glory to him because he's given you eternal life, the gift of salvation. He's blessed you with so much. So honor him in that. You know, in Proverbs 31, it speaks about a virtuous wife. She'll bring honor to her husband. She doesn't shame him. You know, what children should bring honor to their parents, not shame. Because they have your gene pool and everything else. They should bring honor to you. And when someone blesses you, you should want to honor them. They give you something, you say, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. To honor them. Well, God gave us a great gift of salvation. And we should walk worthy or honorable to this calling. Because it is a precious, precious thing. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The word lowliness here speaking of humility. In humility, that means you're not exalting yourself. Love doesn't exalt itself, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. We don't have to have our way. We don't exalt ourselves. I liken it this way. If you're going to get on a highway and there's a yield sign, you give the traffic coming up through, they have the right of way. You yield to them. And for us, we yield to the Lord Jesus as our Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will for me? And in being humble one to another, we don't exalt ourselves above one another, trying to one up each other or be we are not in competition with each other. That's a childish thing. You know, like you have kids in school, like girls will compete for who's the most popular, who's the most esteemed amongst themselves. That's all this immature childishness is all that is. Or boys want to be who's stronger and compete and beat up on one another. But humility doesn't put yourself down, but rather will lift others up to the place that they're to be. With meekness. Now, the word meekness is very interesting. And the way Zodiotis explains this word, it's not an outward expression. Sometimes people think being humble is acting, oh, I'm a no good, unworthy worm. That's what religious people think. Oh, I'm no good. No, you exalt the Lord. You don't put yourself down. You lift him up. And with meekness, it's an inward quality of the soul. It's a work of the Holy Spirit where you're really at peace within yourself. Yes. You're not throwing tantrums at God. You're not shaking your fists. I've seen preachers I really liked already talk like, yeah, God, why are you doing this? Man, you're a fool. Don't teach people to act like that just because you're funny or something. That's arrogance. Who are you to ever do that to God? But a meek and quiet spirit, you're able to allow the Lord to deal with you, and you don't react to what all other people are doing around you. That's a meek and quiet spirit. You're not pushing for anything. You're not reacting to anything. With long-suffering, or that means to bear up with people, forbearing one another in love. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 6, love hopes, love believes, love bears all things. I'd written a song to that effect from that verse one time. And long-suffering involves a few different things. To begin, out of the love of God, we have hope. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart, and we have hope. Our hope does not disappoint us. Now, when it concerns other people, to bear with them, begin with, we have to have hope for them. Can they change? Can they change them? And many times, some of the most evil in terms of outward works you'd think end up becoming broken by the Lord and raised up. I mean, Saul of Tarsus, he called himself chief sinner. My wife and I were watching something on YouTube or something the other day, and it was these guys in a prison. I think it was in a federal pen. So that's where the murderers go. And these guys were, what was that we were watching? Yeah, and they were worshiping, praising God with all of their heart. And I've been in some prisons like that before, and you see that because if you're like a murderer and you hurt people and all that, the load of guilt can be so great. But for someone to hear the gospel and come to know forgiveness where that guilt's cleansed from them, it's lifted off of them, and they're now free, even though maybe they're behind bars, they're free on the inside. And they're praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. Well, you have to have hope people can change. If I get involved in any kind of marriage counseling, it's one of the first things I go to right now. Do you have any hope this other person, your husband or wife, can change? If they say no, I'll say, okay, counseling's over. No sense wasting anybody's time because nothing's going to change. If you don't have any hope for change, if you don't see that God can bring change in one another's life. Love believes in all things will continue to release faith. It's not spiritual to see everyone's faults. A worldly man can see that, and if you're not too good at it, there's plenty of devils will help you out and point out faults, fault finding. And the closer you get to anyone, you'll see shortcomings and weakness. Except in Jesus. And many times people expect more out of certain people, and they're very intolerant of where they're imperfect according to their thinking. Now maybe your thinking is what's wrong. Maybe you're demanding something of people. People need to be this way and that way and this way and that way. There's no end to that. But in the love of God, we can bear with people, having the hope for change and releasing faith in the ministry of the Holy Ghost, speak to them. A lot of times I'll pray away, Father, speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them in a way they can hear you. Speak out which they would need. You see, our growth's very, very line upon line, very progressive. And sometimes you can't see this till you see this over here. It's like in education, you learn to add 1 plus 1. I mean, that's where you start with math class, right? 1 plus 1's 2. And you go on until you're doing, you know, algebraic equations or something, or you're far, far advanced. But you don't start out in kindergarten teaching algebra. I mean, kindergarten teachers, you don't do that, do you? You know, it's 1 plus 1's 2. And they learn to speak A, B, C, and everything else. Well, to have unity of the Spirit. Now, unity, Brother Cole used to say this a lot, is place of power. And when we're one together in spirit, the power of God can be among us corporately in a way we beyond what we can comprehend. But unity is vital. Because if different people come together and they have aught against one another, unforgiveness or bitterness or critical spirit or judgmental, it quenches the spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit. Now, when he goes on here in verse 4 through 6, he says there's one body, one spirit. Something just the Holy Spirit revealed to me this week. Back in chapter 2, he was talking about God bringing the Jews and Gentiles together in one. There's one body. There's one way of salvation. You don't get saved by being a Jew. There's Messiah came. The prophetic scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus. They must believe upon him like we must believe upon him. It's the only way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. You don't go to the Father through some other religion. All other religions will take you to hell. Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no getting around that. It's very plain in the scripture. Well, God wants to manifest himself. He wants to pour out his presence in a greater way. And the unity of the Spirit's vital. And what he says here then, between the Jew and the Gentiles, there's just one body. There's not the Jewish body and the Gentile body. There's not this, that, or the other. There's one body, one Holy Spirit. There's one hope you're calling, one Lord, Jesus. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Now, we don't realize in where we live and the environment we live in, what an issue this was back then. Everywhere Paul went, according to 2 Corinthians, everywhere he went, there were people sent behind him. That was his thorn in the flesh, Judaizers, who would come behind him and try to make people come back under the law when they were saved by grace through faith. They would undo what he did. And in Galatians, he said, even Peter was swayed by these people at one point. And he had rebuked Peter. See, works can creep in real fast, real easy, if you're not careful. You know, wrong doctrines hit basically three areas. Grace versus works. Authority, which would be abusive or none at all. And the Holy Spirit's ministry. Some people over-spiritualize, all flaky, and there's others who deny the Holy Spirit's ministry. Two extremes with those three areas. But most wrong doctrine will come in one of those three areas. And he's saying here, there's just one. There's no debate and argument about this. But you see, and it wasn't until the Spirit of God was poured out when Peter was preaching Acts chapter 10, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. They said, well, we can't argue with this. And God really gave Paul the revelation from the scriptures of what God wanted to do in bringing all humankind to him, making the way for all to be saved. And that his church, his people, would be comprised of Jews, Greeks, Romans, Gentiles. And we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, in a culture that's very singular, in one sense, it's a little bit easier because people think the same. In America, We have every culture in the world here. We have everything of everything here. And people have become very opinionated and disagree and strive against one another. So it takes a greater work in a sense. But I remember studying after Dr. Cho in Korea. And the Korean people, it was all Koreans there, pretty much. They had one mindset. Now, the thing is, to change something like that is harder. Because they're all in that same mindset that might be wrong. But on the other hand, to get them to flow together in unity is easier because they think the same. Well, the reason that we would think the same is we don't try to agree with each other. We agree with Jesus. We agree with the Word of God. And that's where the unity will be made by the Spirit of God, because we agree with Him together. Well, I want to pursue on this some more, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You don't have unity by compromise. Because where will that ever end? We need to continue to believe God to change. And a lot of times people, especially in marriages, they just say, I'm done. I'm tired of it. And they've allowed unforgiveness in their heart and bitterness to where they want to get away from that person that they said God brought them together with. Hopefully they knew that. I want to go back to this walking worthy here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a moment. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, wherefore I pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times people, in our culture anyway, really struggle with understanding the word Lord. Lord is your master, has the authority of your life and can command you. Jesus is Lord, you're my Lord. I'm your slave, I live for you, you command me. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Now, as we're walking in a way, walking with Him, doing the work of faith with power, He is glorified in us and us in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go over to Colossians now. Look at some scriptures here. This reinforces this whole thing. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll pick it up at verse 3 for context's sake. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all saints. Now, that's what he said there in Ephesians 1:15. I was pointing that out to you. As they came to him in faith and began to be born in the spirit of love to one another, when he heard of that, he was praying for them to be taken in a deeper walk with the Lord. He didn't cease. It was just a constant there. The yearning of his heart that we would be more filled with him and walk with him, that our lives bring glory to him, because it's for that reason you're here on this earth. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. The word of God will produce fruit in us, because it is as a seed. It will grow up and bring forth fruit. Since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God and truth. And as you learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, it's interesting when you, I know in traveling at times, and I'd be like Brother Israel or Pradeep or different ones, Ema, and you begin meeting different believers or part of their ministry. When I speak to them again or I go back again, say, well, how's so-and-so doing? How's this brother doing? How's this sister doing? Are they going on in God? And sometimes you hear they are, and sometimes you hear they went off a deep end. But there's like a declaring of if you're walking in love, it's a great joy from a pastoral perspective to be able to say, yeah, they're going on. They're going on. It's very sorrowful when someone drifts off because what God had for them, they don't enter into and partake. He says, for this cause, see, he has a cause here. His cause to see them rise up the fullness of God and bring glory to God. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. Now, wisdom is knowing what to do. Understanding would be how it works or what is something comprised of. But wisdom is knowing what to do, how to apply it to your life. When we hear the word of God, we should hear with the wisdom of the Spirit of God. Lord, what do I do with this? How do I apply this to my life, Lord? That should be the question that sort of churns on the inside of us. Because if you don't say, Lord, how can I apply this? You'll walk out and say, well, that was a good message. Well, what did he teach? I don't know, but it was good. Somebody do that. They don't remember anything, but it was good. Maybe it made you feel good. But we need to apply it to our life that word can bring forth fruit. That you might walk worthy. So as we know and do the will of God, that's what brings an honor to God for the great price that Jesus paid. As I was meditating on this, I thought of a movie. It's called Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you ever saw that movie or not. I like war movie stuff, you know, so I like that. But Saving Private Ryan, the way the story goes, they were hitting the beach in Normandy, and there was a woman who had three sons in the military, and two of them were killed at Normandy. And the other one was out there somewhere. So they picked eight men to go find him, to send him back home so his mother didn't have to grieve the loss of all three sons. That's how the story proceeded. Well, Tom Hanks, he was the main actor in that. And anyway, they're on this search to find Private Ryan. They finally find him, and they end up in a battle with the Germans. And Tom Hanks' figure, Captain Miller's name was, he pulls this Private Ryan over and says, earn it, earn it. So anyway, it's like 50 years later, and he comes back to the Colville Cemetery there, and this Ryan, he's weeping, and his wife and his kids, they don't understand what's wrong with Dad, and he's freaking out here. And these words haunted him, and he tells his wife, tell me I was a good man. Tell me I was a good husband. Because these other men died that he could live. And I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, that's such a picture. Just like a picture of Jesus. He died that we all could live. And he's saying, walk worthy of it. Bring honor to him for what he's done. He gave his life that we could have our life. We have his life, eternal life. That you might walk worthy of the Lord or honorable to him, unto all pleasing. When we do the will of God, it pleases him. When you come to him, it pleases him. I remember when our sons were real young, you know, and you come home, run up and jump up and grab a hold of your leg or something. Oh, it just melts your heart, you know. It pleases you. They come to you. They come to you. God's pleased when you come by faith to him, blesses him as a little child. being fruitful in every good work. There's that word again, being fruitful. The word in you will bring a fruitfulness. And increasing in the knowledge of God, or in knowing the depths of his character, of who he is. Because you, as you go on, he wants to take you deeper in love, deeper in peace, deeper in joy, and all the rest of it. Strengthened with might, with all might, the power of God, according to his glorious power, according to resurrection power that was deposited within you, strengthened with that power unto something. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, the word patience actually means perseverance in the Greek. Patience, we can tend to think of just waiting, waiting, waiting. I look at patience this way. Is that you don't move till God says move. I mean, you'll be still till he says move. If he says move, nothing stops you till he says stop. That's one way I define patience. You don't move till he says move. If he says move, you don't stop till he says stop. So if he's having you move forward and you're hitting a lot of opposition and conflict, you're not going to stop. You're going to keep going. That's the patience of the Lord, or the perseverance. And we need, when you hear the power of God, when you hear those words, people immediately think of miracle-working power. And that's part of it. Healing power, that's part of it. But we need the power of God to persevere. A lot of times people will go a little bit, well, they'll get discouraged and quit. No, the power of God will keep you going forward. Put the pedal to the metal. The accelerator's going on. Rev this thing up. You're going to keep plowing on through. The power of God unto patience and long-suffering. That's the word makrothumia in the Greek, which means to bear with people. Long-suffering. You can bear with people. In other words, you can absorb their faults and flaws, not get angry back at them, not cut them off, not get snarky or snotty or anything else, but rather you bear with them in love, having the hope that the Spirit of God can change them, releasing faith in prayer for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, because that's what we all need. And when you're going to hook up with other people, we need to be doing this. We have to persevere through circumstances and whatever's coming against us, and we have to bear with everyone around us. If you have an infant child and they start to scream and they poop or diaper, you don't just like throw them out in a garbage can. You don't say, "Get out of the house, kid, you're making me upset." No one would do that. Why? Because that child doesn't know any better yet. But see, many times we expect from people, well, they've been a believer for 50 years. They should know better. Maybe they don't have that revelation. Maybe you do. Maybe they don't. Jesus said, don't judge by appearance. Judge righteous judgment. See, things can appear a certain way. We might make judgments, but they'll usually be wrong. Like Brother Cole used to say, a lot of people would judge others by their actions and themselves by their intentions. Well, I meant well, so I'm excused. You did this, you're not forgiven. And the issue came up with Peter, and Jesus said about forgiving. He said, well, Lord, how often do I have to do that? 7 times a day? And he wanted to have a cap where he could say, all right, that's it, I don't have to do that anymore. No more forgiveness for you. Jesus said 7 times 70. And if you're counting up to 490, believe me, you never forgave them probably the first time. You see, you can be tempted, you can forgive and be tempted to pick it up again. If you begin to meditate on whatever it was someone did to you, this is why Jesus brought out in his teaching on prayer, Luke 11 and Matthew 6, he brought out about forgiveness in the daily prayer life. There will be things that could offend you every day of your life. Every day of your life. It could be what someone does, or sometimes it's what they don't do. You're expecting something from someone, and they don't do it. People get offended, and someone's offended with you, and you don't even know why. What did I do? You didn't do what I wanted you to do. Offense is a great tool of the devil to just take you out. Because if you don't forgive, and it's best to forgive immediately, if you don't forgive, you'll begin to get bitterness in your heart, and that will defile your soul. There's no peace to a bitter person. There's a lot of people out there walking with all manner of hatred. I mean, you see it and hear it all the time. It's how sad. They have no peace. They have no peace. If you have hatred, you have no peace. You let bitterness go, it'll end up becoming hatred. So good to be free from all that stuff. And if you realize Jesus forgave you, the blood was shed to redeem you, in whom we have forgiveness. If you don't really see that you need to be forgiven, you will not be able to look at others the same way. But if you realize, Lord, you've forgiven me. I was dead in my sin, but you made me alive. You raised me up. You forgave me of my sin. It was washed away. It was taken as far as the east from the west. Removed. Well, the power of God enables you persevere and bear with people. Sometimes people can get on your nerves. Expression we would use is, I don't think I can take it anymore. Well, you need more of the power of God then. Bear up, bear up, bear up, bear up, bear up. Sometimes I marvel at some people that can really put up with a lot of stuff from people. And I sort of marvel at that. And yet, having been in and out of a hospital around different medical people in the last 2 years, I observe a lot, and like different nurses and doctors, all that. And there's some, they're in the wrong profession because they're agitated with it. Because if somebody's in a lot of pain, they can get kind of nasty. Someone's in a lot of pain, they might get snappy or whatever with a nurse or someone. But the ones that are really graced for that, have that extra touch of mercy, they just absorb it. And I watched some different ones do it. Not with me. I wasn't snapping anybody, but I'm just saying. You watch some of that, and then they can absorb it. But if you don't stay full of love, it can begin to wear you down. I had one nurse person. Boy, she was, like the drill sergeant there on Hiding Place. I mean, she even had that kind of accent, and she was like tough, And I'm going to start showing love to her and start asking her about family or this or that and this and that. Where are you from? And, well, I got in there. The next day, she couldn't do enough for me. You want somebody to do more? Love on them, and they'll do more for you. Don't be demanding. Love on them. Anyway, I used to watch this stuff, and it'd be some. And sometimes we'll say, well, certain people shouldn't be allowed to work in the public, because the way they act, the restaurant or whatever. And there's others that are really great for it. There's a different measure of grace to do different things. It's not good to be in a job outside of where your grace is. But the power of God will enable you to continue to persevere. Brother Cole would say a man of faith and victorious doesn't look at what he's going through, but what he's going to. And we keep moving ahead with the power of God. And then bearing with those around us. I want to get down to chapter 3 here in Colossians. Chapter 3. Scrolling down at verse 10. You put on the new man. It says put off the old man. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. This corresponds back to those verses in Ephesians where he's saying there's one body, one Lord, one faith. And one of the things I've observed traveling in different nations, there's a lot of people are more identified with their culture or their nation than Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Christians now. That bothers me. It really rubs me the wrong way. Because sometimes I go to certain places and you can tell they're saying, well, here's the American. I said, no, I'm sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a part of the kingdom of God, and I come here by the grace of God to bless you. I don't come as an American. And a lot of wars and fighting comes from this stuff, like people building these identities. I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I'm a this, and I'm a that. And we are number one. Hey, who's the greater one? So he's mentioning he's different, the Jew, the Greek, the circumcised, the uncircumcised, the barbarian, the Scythian, the bond, the free. But Christ is all in all. You see, it's very simple. If our identity's in him, then we'll identify with his people. And we'll look out at one another through the eyes of faith, hope, and love. That's how you see out. We're identified together. We're part of one another. It just irritates me to no end. But I got to bear with them too. This thing of exalting, well, I'm from Russia, Ukraine, France, England, whatever, whatever, whatever. And our way is the best way. That's nothing but pride. Nothing but pride. I'm from California. I'm from New York. I'm from this. I'm from that. We're born of the Spirit of God, the same Spirit. Saved by the same grace. Forgiven through the same work of that blood of Jesus. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. The mercy of God is deep within us. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. There's those same words. Forbear one another, bear with one another, and forgive one another. If any man have against any, even as Christ so forgave you. Above all these things, put on charity, which is love. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond, what's going to bond us together is the love of God. And whether someone's just got saved yesterday and is rough as a corn cob, or they've been saved 50 years, makes no difference. We need to bear with one another with all of our imperfections, faults, and flaws. Like I say, you can find some of those in anyone. You're not spiritual by noticing somebody's flaws. You're not by any means spiritual doing that. What I want to know, who's part of the solution? Who's part of the answer? If someone's not part of the solution and the answer, then they're part of the problem. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Continue to thank God for all that he's given you. As Brother Allen was sharing this morning, to be thankful for our salvation. Thankful we have eternal life. Thank you, our destiny seal going to heaven. And let the peace rule your heart. If you are not walking in love, there's agitation towards people, you will not have peace. Love walks sin will be a peace robber. And some people have no peace, and they're like a bomb ready to go off. You get into the road rage and all that kind of stuff. It takes nothing to snap them. There's a lot of dangerous people out there, so angry. And that can be lifted off by receiving forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But then we need to begin to forgive others, as Jesus said to pray, to forgive as we forgive others. To continue to receive that cleansing, forgiveness from the Lord, he commands it. He didn't suggest it. He commanded it. You must forgive. And the thing that's wise to do, the wisdom of God here, is do it every day. Do it every day in your prayer life. You think about somebody and you think something negative. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I remember when I first started going to the missions trips like India and Africa. And I come back here and I'd hear people complain about the stupidest little thing. It's really upset me. And the Lord ministered to me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus on the cross, forgive them, they know not what they do. They were crucifying the Son of God. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And you know, people can be so blessed, but the way they're looking at it, it's not enough. Where, you know, as we realize God's blessed us with all spiritual blessing, we have more. He's God of more than enough. We have more than enough. We have all that we would need in Him, beginning in spirit, and it begins to work out into our natural life. Let peace rule your heart. Put on charity. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You know, when someone has sin against somebody else, they don't even like to look at them. They don't want to hear their voice. I've already can tell somebody sinned against me. I can just tell in spirit right away because they can't even just look me in the eye. And I don't know. I'm not going to say anything, but I'll know. If you do that in front of your kids, they can't hide it. I could see that already. Certain people's kids, I'm talking about over the years, I'm not talking about right now. You see it like, they talked against me in front of their kid, little kid. Little kid doesn't know what to do with that. If you let that stuff in you, it's going to come out. Bitterness will always begin to puke out of your mouth eventually. A lot of people that carry that stuff, they'll seek out other people that have the same stuff in them. That they can just puke out their bitterness one to another. I said to my wife the other day, you know, negative people don't like being around positive people because they're not positive. Must be something wrong with them. It must be an act or something. Well, if anyone should be positive, it's us because we have the power of God. We have the love of God, the wisdom of God. We can rejoice every day no matter what we're going through. The power of God will take us on through to persevere. And enables us to bear with people. Don't ever say, I can't take it anymore. Don't say that. You're denying the power of God. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth. That's it. I've had enough. Or you just limited the power of God in your life. He can continue to take us on further and deeper.